Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM HD1 Evanston, Chicago. I'm Neha Yadavali, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, the Actors Gymnasium celebrates 30 years, mass deportations hit college campuses, and crossover season kicks off, and we reflect on life after Election Day. Those stories and more coming up from Northwestern University. This is WNUR News at 6. In 2025, the Actors Gymnasium celebrates its 30th anniversary of making acrobatics and aerial arts accessible to thousands of students in the Evanston and Chicagoland area. Sophia Quesa took a trip under the Big Top training program to learn more.
And now bird's nest, pop your hips off, and now you can come sitting.
There's a common childhood fantasy of wanting to run away from school to join the circus. But Sylvia Hernandez de Stasi did the opposite. She left the circus to start a school.
We just pooled our money and decided to try this thing, and it just took off right off the bat. Because with the popularity of Cirque du Soleil, people were really excited to try what they were seeing on stage. So it just all kind of fell into place.
The child of two circus performers and raised under the Big Top, Hernandez de Stasi is the co-founder and executive artistic director of the Actors Gymnasium, a circus school and theater company located right inside the Noyes Cultural Arts Center. In 2025, the organization celebrates its 30th anniversary of making acrobatics and aerial arts accessible to thousands of students in the Evanston and Chicagoland area.
So aerial arts can encompass a lot of things, but the things that people are most familiar with are usually trapeze and silks.
That's Jordan Reinwald, teacher and educational coordinator for the Actors Gym. She discovered the Actors Gym through her husband, who is also an instructor at the facility. Offering courses in contortion, trapeze, stage combat, and more, Reinwald says the Actors Gym offers something for everyone.
We have a wide range of students, so we have recreational students of all types. We've got moms, we've got Northwestern students, we've got people who just want to try something new, and then we run the gamut all the way up to professional-level circus artists.
Including many who start developing their talents right on Northwestern's campus, where Hernandez de Stasi teaches the theater course Circus Movement for the Stage. The wait list is often a mile long, but as Professor Hernandez de Stasi notes that for those who manage to wrangle a spot, students find enjoyment from the unique and rewarding experience and have often gone on to retake the course as well as additional classes at the Actors Gym.
Everybody really wants to be there, so they're really, throwing themselves wholeheartedly into this movement style that is scary and hard and, sometimes painful, and they're just really... They're just really dedicated.
Oh, that's helpful. Thank you.
Since 1998, the center's hosted youth summer camps, exploding their enrollment, creating generations of dedicated performers who have followed the program through the Actors Gym's teen ensemble and adult classes and 9-month intensive program, which are available and accessible to all who want to learn about circus performance.
We have a huge scholarship program, so we give away a lot of classes and programming for whoever needs it.
Despite challenges such as COVID shrinking capacity during the height of the pandemic, the Actors Gym has managed to remain a pillar of the Evanston and Greater Chicago area community, including Reinwald, whose life for the past 10 years has revolved around this block on Noyes Street.
I personally adore Actors Gym. I love it. It has my whole heart. It has my whole life. I work here. I play here. My husband works here. My kids go to preschool right across the street. There's an amazing community here. All my friends are here. I think the people who run the organization are amazing people who are really trying to do good in the world.
Something Hernandez de Stasi can't agree with more.
We welcome everyone. We never turn anyone away for lack of need. Some people want to perform, and this is a good place for them. Some people don't want to perform, they just want to learn skills. Also a great place for them. So it really is where people find each other because of their uniqueness.
As the Actors Gym looks to its next 30 years and beyond, Hernandez de Stasi, Reinwald, and co. are excited to continue providing mentorship, community, and artistic excitement in their very own concrete Big Top on Noyes. For WNUR News, I'm Sophia Quesa.
Mass deportations have been taking place across the country, including on college campuses, which has impacted international students. Sahana Ani has the story.
With ICE patrolling the streets of Chicago and violently detaining people, it is a scary time to live in America without full citizenship status. On campus, international students feel the weight of this threat.
Maybe we're too young, but I feel like ever since I was 1 year old, the United States has always stood for the complete opposite of what's happening today.
Student A, an international student from the Middle East, chose to remain anonymous due to concerns about her student visa being revoked. Her voice has been modulated as an added form of anonymity.
No, it's just funny how the United States is becoming what it says that it's trying to defy in regions like the Middle East.
In March, Columbia student Mohammed Khalil was detained by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement for his involvement in pro-Palestinian protests. A few weeks later, Tufts student Rumeysa Öztürk had her student visa revoked due to an op-ed she co-authored that criticized Tufts' response to the war in Gaza. Events like these leave many international students afraid to speak out about politics. Student B, another international student from the Middle East who requested his voice be modulated, expressed this fear.
I mean, obviously it was shocking at first. To see the extent that they can go to, and to know that this could not be the extent and that they could even go further, and we just don't know. It was crazy and scary, and like, I never imagined that this would be the case.
As a result, Evanston immigration attorney Alan Toksh advises his clients to remain cautious when expressing political opinions.
I would characterize the current geopolitics as one that is creating a lot of uncertainty, a lot of anxiety, and F1 visa holders, they are walking on thin ice. And so if they are deemed to be associated with a terrorist organization or an organization that has some national security concerns, the State Department, as we've seen, can go ahead and attempt to revoke their visa. Everything that they have done along their career, everything that they have studied for, achieved, goes out the window simply because of that designation. So for that reason, when I tell clients to please be careful, those are not hollow words. They are based on what I see and what is happening on the ground every day across the United States.
Many international students follow this guidance. Here's student B and student A again.
Like, I've been feeling comfortable speaking about some stuff, but not everything, obviously. And I feel like as time goes on, like the circle of topics of what I'm willing to, like, that I'm willing to discuss, which is getting smaller and shrinking.
Yeah, for me, it's the furthest the issue is from the United States attention, the more likely I am to talk about it. So I would talk about politics from home on my socials or anything like that, but before the deportations, maybe I would have talked about ICE, but the second they started, I was silent completely about an issue that most probably concerned me at first.
Professor Heather Hendershot is teaching a class on free speech this quarter. She says that some First Amendment rights are still intact.
All of us can technically still go out on the street with a bullhorn and say the things that we want to say.
But individuals must consider the risk of exercising those rights. According to Professor Hendershot, these are uncertain times.
How can students, graduate students from other countries who don't have citizenship status, be detained? And legally, they can't be. Kidnapping those people in the street for, say, signing an editorial or saying something at a rally is not legal. So, you know, asking how can that happen? It happened because because might makes right is the thinking. It's not happening within the confines of what the law allows.
International students are left fearing the consequences of this might makes right position, including student A and student B.
It's become an inside joke. That's definitely a very present fear in the international community, that we can't say anything that's actually challenging to the current propaganda of the extreme rightists.
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel like not really, because with a lot of international students, like, this genuinely does not affect them in any way, shape, or form. And they're able to just, like, go about their, like, lives normally, but then depending on where you're from, what's happening can really affect you. Like, it's not about your status as an international student as much as it's about that in relation to where you come from. Like, if you don't care and if you choose to ignore it, it won't affect you. But then if you're from other parts of the world, you can't really ignore it because it's affecting you directly on a daily basis, you know?
If you do end up detained, Taksh says,
not all is lost. In other words, there are ways within which you can still fight what you believe to be an unjust determination. And so keep calm, do your due diligence, go to get qualified guidance. And I will also say this, make sure that you get a second or a third opinion.
Regarding the future of free speech in the U.S., Professor Hendershot says,
it's hard to rebuild things when you break them. And that the level of things being broken is so broad right now.
But she believes there are ways to push back against the current administration, regardless of a student's citizenship status.
It's a good time for activism and speaking out, which I realize not everyone is comfortable doing for various complicated and good reasons. But if you can't speak up, you can read books, you can read journalism, you can learn and keep informed, you know, about what's going on, and simply not give up hope.
For WNUR News, Sahana Uni.
Crossover season has officially begun. Winter sports have begun and fall sports playoffs are almost underway. Gabe Shumway has the recap in this week's NU Sports Report.
Hello, I'm Gabe Shumway here with your NU Sports Report on everything from this past week. Northwestern volleyball had a bounce back week with two home wins against Iowa and Maryland. After winning the first two sets against the Hawkeyes Friday, the Cats stumbled, leading to a set 5. Rylan Reed took control from there with 10 kills in the fifth set alone to win it for the Cats. The senior totaled 27 kills in all, a career high, and the most by a Wildcat since Julia San Giacomo in 2023. The Cats took that momentum into a 3-1 victory over the Terrapins on Sunday. Despite Maryland's elite defense at the net and explosive hits by senior A.J. Mollewal, the Cats prevailed through a variety of threats. This brings them to 5-7 in conference play, ahead of a West Coast trip to face USC and UCLA. The defending national champs NU Field Hockey closed out the regular season Friday with a 5-0 win over Michigan State in East Lansing. Headlined by Ashley Sessa's 4 goals, Northwestern took control from the start, never tiring. This victory also marked the 11th shutout of the season for redshirt first-year goalie Yuliana Bone. With Northwestern's 8-0 record in conference play, it has easily secured the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament. That will start Thursday in Bloomington. Northwestern cross country is in the midst of its best season in decades, and the Big Ten championships were no exception. Currently ranked 8th nationally, the Cats placed 3rd overall at the tournament, their highest placing in nearly 40 years. Ava Earle finished 13th in the race, which earned her a 2nd consecutive All-Big Ten second-team spot. Ava Kraniti and Maddie Whitman were second-team honorees as well. The three all finished the 6K race within just 5.4 seconds of one another. Women's soccer wrapped up Big Ten tournament festivities last week as well. The Cats were awarded the number 7 seed, taking down USC in a 1-0 match on Thursday. They fell just one match later, however, at the hands of Michigan State, the number 2 seed in the Big Ten and number 9 nationally. They fell by a score of just 1-0 to the Spartans, a testament to the steadfast presence of Nyima Nelson in goal all season long. In the meantime, the Cats wait with bated breath for Monday's selection show, where they will find out if they make the NCAA tournament. Two more regular season matches await men's soccer next week, and the momentum is currently on its side. The Wildcats took on number 17 Indiana at home Friday, routing the Hoosiers in a 2-0 victory on senior night. It was a true full-circle moment for the Wildcat seniors as well, with senior forward Alejandro Martinez Santamaria netting one goal and local first-year Aaron O'Reilly with the other. Just Wisconsin and Ohio State await Russell Payne's team as the season nears its end. That wraps up your NU Sports Report for this week. For more information about upcoming games, as well as how you can watch the Wildcats live, visit www.nusports.com. I'm Gabe Shumway for WNUR News.
Through poetic verses, we find space to think about accountability, identity, and the human side of civic life after Election Day. Here's Isabel Papp for Well Versed.
Welcome to Well Versed, WNUR News' poetry segment, where you'll hear timely readings to help you relax, reflect, and reconnect with yourself. At the time this is airing, it will be one day after National Election Day. Though not all elections have received as much attention as the New York mayoral or even the presidential one last year, it's a great time to reflect on how important voting is. It's how we keep our politicians and ourselves accountable. It's what our democracy is built on. In that spirit, I'd like to share a few political poems this afternoon, and I hope you'll resonate with them as much as I do. Poet Tim Dlugos was born in Springfield, Massachusetts, and grew up in Arlington, Virginia. Marked by a witty observation, narratives that recount life's daily minutiae, and heavily enjambed lines, Dlugos' work is noteworthy for its firsthand depiction of the AIDS pandemic. After learning he was HIV positive, Dlugos studied at Yale University Divinity School to become an Episcopalian priest. He died of AIDS-related complications in 1990. Here is White Petals by Tim Dlugos. The Republic lies in the blossoms of Washington, Robert Bly. White petals drop into the dark river, heedless of political significance. They ride out to sea like stars. I'm the space explorer. I travel to a planet where there are no plants or animals. Everyone lives in harmony. I don't want to go home. I'm the pioneer man and the pioneer woman, both at the same time. I build my house with my own hands, and it's beautiful. With simple, perfect lines. I'm the farmer waiting for the vegetables to grow so I can eat. I'm the hunter aiming at the bear. I don't want to shoot it, but my family needs meat. The bear gave me a long, dumb animal look. We'll use his skin for blankets, his fat to light our lamps. Our cabin will stink all night. I'm the cabin boy who graduates to captain. Shipboard sex is rough, but it suits my taste. I'm the man on the steps of the house where the president's widow lives. At night, I wait for the stranger to get out of his car so I can flash my look of recognition. I'm the cowpoke who sleeps with his horses. I'm the man who loves dogs. I'm the cranky president sneaking away to swim in the Potomac. I'm the black man. I close my eyes and it gets dark inside. I feel the sun on my face. I see the light through my eyelids. It's bright, intelligent. Free of all cares. I'm the heir of a great American family. My success is guaranteed. Unexpected tragedy is all that can stop me. I'm the popular senator teaching his son to shave. Lorenzo Thomas was born in Panama and moved with his family to New York in 1948. His father was a pharmacist and his mother a community activist. Often addressing the civil rights movement and Vietnam, his poetry reveals a familiarity with black music, surrealism, contemporary American popular music, and cinema, as well as his empathy for the underprivileged. Here is Inauguration by Lorenzo Thomas. The land was there before us, was the land. Then things began happening fast, because the bombs us have always work. Sometimes it makes me think God must be one of us. Because us has saved the world. Us gave it a particular set of regulations based on 1, undisputable acumen, 2, carnivorous fortunes, delicately referred to out here as bull market, and, of course, other irrational factors. Deadly smoke, thick over the ice caps, our man in Saigon, Lima, Tokyo, etc., etc. Thank you for listening to Well Versed. In closing, I'd like to invite you to keep paying attention. Democracy is always moving, and if we look away for too long, it might leave us behind. For WNUR News, I'm Isabel Papp.
Taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe, yesterday, congressional candidate Kat Abugazale spoke at Northwestern this weekend, saying she's running because Democratic leaders have not taken right-wing disinformation seriously, calling it a key reason she's entered the race. In Chicago news, federal agents arrested a teacher at a Chicago daycare earlier this morning in front of parents and children, sparking outrage from city officials. Homeland Security officials said the arrest followed a failed traffic stop and that the woman and another person ran inside to hide. Parents described the scene as terrifying and said the center was closed for the day. In national news, in the first major election since Donald Trump returned to the White House, Democrats saw big wins nationwide. Zohran Mamdani was elected New York City's next mayor, Abigail Spanberger became Virginia's first female governor, and Mickey Sherrill won New Jersey's governor's race. Californians also passed a key redistricting measure favoring Democrats, while Trump downplayed GOP losses online. In international news, temperatures in the North Pacific have hit record highs, nearly 2.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, forming what scientists call a marine heat wave, or the blob. Experts say the warming, stretching from Asia to North America, is harming marine life and could impact weather patterns, bringing a wetter winter to the Pacific Northwest. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 893. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Savannah Bond, and our reporters are Sophia Kesa, Sahana Ani, Gabe Shemway, and Isabel Papp. I'm Neha Yedavali. Catch our next newscast Friday, November 7th. Now, back to scheduled programming.